Wood, Shreveport, 92.5, KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, as always, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to join in and fellowship with you every Saturday at this hour, Lord, on this radio broadcast, and just allow God to summon us into his presence and allow him to speak to all of our hearts. Glory to God, you know, in words of love and comfort, you know, in a way that we can feel his presence, sense his presence, and know that he's with us. That's the most important thing, you know. Our greatest desire as far as the ministry that God has given us is that you might know him. That's it. We just want you to know him, who? Almighty God, the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, who he sent, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the power that's available to us through his resurrection. Why do you want us to do that, Arthur? Because to know him is this is eternal life, that we might know him. So our greatest desire is for you to know your creator, to know your father in heaven. Because I promise you something, and I guarantee it also, that boy, you get to know him, you're going to want to know him better and better, more and more. You're going to want to draw closer and closer than anything in this whole wide world. You know what the problem is? Why a lot of people not running to our Father in heaven? Because they don't know the truth. They don't know who God really is. They don't know what he's really doing. They don't know what he's really about. And most important, they don't know his love for all mankind. I don't care who you are, whether you're good, bad, whether you're a gangster, whether you're a thug, whether you're good, or whether you're a perfect person. It don't matter who you are. Sometimes my God loved the whole world. He loved the whole world so much, boy, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And he sent his son for a purpose, what? To display that love that he had for us to us. So when Jesus Christ came down to this earth, you know what he was doing? He was displaying the love of God. He came for a purpose. That purpose was to redeem our life from our destruction. What kind of destruction, Arthur? A separation from God that caused us to be plunged into this world and this society that we live in here now, where there's good and evil. You know, God's original intent for our lives and for the earth and for him creating us is that it might be in our lives here on earth just as it is in him. But as a result of one man's disobedience, what Adam disobeyed God in doing, then instead of being on earth like it is here now, I mean, instead of being on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now, where good and evil. When God is a good God, and God intends for nothing but good to come out. And that's how it was, you always say to me. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that's what it was. It was all good. Adam and Eve didn't know nothing about no evil. They didn't know nothing about death. They didn't know nothing about separation from God. All they knew was the goodness of God. Well, he was in a utopia. He was in a perfect place. He was in the Garden of Eden. He was in the perfect environment, the perfect atmosphere, the perfect love. I mean, everything was perfect for him in that Garden of Eden that he was in. And all he had to do was remain true to the administrative authority that God had assigned him under. What was that? Just to remain innocent. To remain, you know, holy. To remain obedient. Not to not to go against God's word. And as long as he didn't go against God's word, boy, and as he continued to grow and multiply and have children, and when their children were spread abroad, then wherever they would go, they'd take the Garden of Eden or that atmosphere and that environment with them to their homeland or to their spot on the earth. Hallelujah. Until, boy, I'm talking about just like the whole earth now is filled with mankind, boy, where our house would be, it would be, boy, it would be where it is. Eden. It would be Eden on earth. It would be the Garden of Eden in every home. What's the Garden of Eden? That's a delightful place with an open door. That's on the spot for a moment with an open door into the literal atmosphere and environment that's created by the presence of the Most High God. Listen, in the presence of the Most High God, you just use your imagination. The Bible says, they seen, our ears, they heard. We can't even imagine all the things that God has done for us. But to the best of your ability, just use your imagination to imagine. What would life be like if it was heaven on earth? What would our life be like if there was no sin, no death, no sickness, no disease? No hatred, no racism, no poverty, commonwealth. Everything was all right. How would you, can you imagine what life would be like if Adam and Eve would have never ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Like I said a minute ago, it would be on earth as it is in heaven. It would be on earth today as it is in heaven. The whole earth would be filled with the glory of God. We would. With the manifested glory, the manifested will, the manifested word of the Most High God. And just imagine that, if you can, you know, heaven on earth. And not only heaven on earth, but you living in heaven on earth. Glory to God. Do you know, as I always say on this radio broadcast, that's God's original intent and plan and purpose for all mankind's lives, that it might be in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven? Why do you think that's the first request that he put in the prayer? Excuse me. When he told us to pray this way, what? Our Father. The word Father is source and sustainer. He's not just my Father. He's all our Father. He's the source of all mankind, of all things. So he's not just my Father. He's in my shepherd. He's our Father. So, hey, when you say, when you come to him in prayer, don't just come on your behalf. Come on everybody's behalf. Our Father. Which where? Which is not on earth. Where is that? Which is in heaven. Then they say, give him his prop. Give him his praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. That's what hallowed be thy name is. That's giving God glory and honor and praise for who he is and all that he is and all that he's done and all that he's doing. Then they say the first request is, Lord, what? Let your kingdom come. Let what come? Let your kingdom come. Where? On earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. Let your will be done. Well, on earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. That's always been his desire. That's always been his will. That's always been his intent. That it be in the lives of God's people here on earth like it is in heaven. Now, we know that, man, I'm talking about we so far away from the fullness of that and the reality of that. Tell me, and you know, it ought to bring shame to us. But that's still his will. That's still his intent. That's still his purpose. That's still his plan for our lives. Even though we might be a trillion miles from the fulfillment of it or from the fullness of it, that don't alter, man, his will and his intent and his desire. In fact, let me go a little bit further. His will and his intent and his desire, it's going to be that way, even if it take a trillion years. Why? With God. Because, see, God don't live in time. He live in eternity. And a trillion years in eternity is just like a moment in time. for trillion years. It's just like a moment, just like a blinking of an eye. How long it takes to blink your eye? A trillion years in eternity, that's how long that is. And boy, we ever come to the knowledge of something where that boy I'm talking about, even though Adam them messed up and caused man, you know, all the evil that's on the world, good and evil, instead of being on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now. I can tell you that no man alter the word and the will of God. God don't have what he say. And he say, boy, let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion on the earth and let it be on earth like it is in heaven. Let them be fruitful and multiply and subdue and replenish and fill the earth. Fill the earth with what? With the glory of God. With the presence of the Lord. So it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. And let me tell you something. I told you, if it take him a trillion years, he going to get what he said. He going to have what he said. He's not a man that he should lie. He's a God boy. I'm talking about, man, let me tell you something. If he said it, he'll do it. He's a man of his word. What he said, he going to do. And boy, let me tell you something. We coming up here, man, with a holiday that we, well, I don't like to call them holidays, you know. Because that's what religion call them and the world call them holidays. But in reality, when it comes down to God, it's not holidays. They holy days with pure integrity. And this holy day that we about to celebrate now, man, we celebrate, man, a season where we know it as Easter. And I ain't talking about the world way of Easter and how the world defines Easter and how the world celebrate Easter and how the world see Easter, you know. But I'm talking about, boy, the reality of what Easter is, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I told you, boy, the world knew, if men who don't know, if they knew how much God really loved them, let me tell you something, man, there wouldn't be enough churches and places and facilities, man, to hold the people, man, that was men who want to serve the Lord, man, for him, with all their heart. I told you, the only reason why they're not is because they don't know, boy, the love that God has for us. They don't know God's plan and God's purpose and God's will for our lives. Because I told you, if they knew that, they wouldn't run from God. They'd run to God. And I don't care who you are, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. If they knew the love of God that he has for all mankind, man, we'd be running to God. Because everything that we're running, that we living in life, and that we're getting up every day for and going after in pursuit of, boy, I don't care who you are, everybody want a better world. Everybody want a perfect world. Everybody want a utopia. Better government, better health care, better everything. Everybody wants that. Everybody wants better men, a better way of living, better homes, better houses, better. Everybody wants better. Everybody wants a perfect world. Everybody wants that. And boy, that's what God is offering to everybody. That's what God had set up for everybody in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that utopia, that perfect world. Heaven on earth. And there he placed Adam and Eve in that place. And I always say this here, whatever he was doing in Adam and Eve, the first two people, man, that he created up on the earth, hey, listen, boy, he was doing for everybody. Whatever he told Adam, he was talking to everybody. Because everybody come from Adam. Everybody come out of Adam. So when he was talking to Adam, he was talking to everybody. How come, Arthur? Because everybody come from Adam. Everybody was in Adam. He made one body from the dust of the ground and never went back to the ground again. Every other body came from that body. He put Adam to sleep and then man took a rib from his body and created a woman, Eve. And then from them two boys, they started reproducing man and creating the whole human race. But they just made one body from the ground, never went back to the ground again. So everybody come from that one body. So when he was talking to that one body in the Garden of Eden, he was talking to everybody. Glory to God. And he was telling everybody his will and his desire for their life, that we be fruitful and productive, that we multiply, that we just not be productive, but we produce a whole lot, and we multiply what we produce, not only in our life, but in the life of our circle of influence. That we do what? That we be productive, we produce, that we multiply, that we produce a lot. And that means, I'm talking about, boy, we distribute. Say it in a plainer way, Arthur. If that, man, we produce all God's will for our life, and we help others, man, do the same thing. As we grow in the will and the knowledge and the love of God and the will of God for our lives, then we have one main responsibility. What's that, Arthur? That's to help others come to the boy, the knowledge of the love of God that he has for our lives. I promise you something. Once you come into that knowledge and that will and that desire that God has for your life, not your knowledge, not your will, not your desire, and not sense knowledge, not all the knowledge that we learn from our schools and seminars and seminaries and our technical schools and high schools and all our education systems, secular and spiritual, where we come to the revelation knowledge. What's that, boy? Who God is, like I said earlier, and what he's doing in this earth, and we all be running to him. Sometimes I boy like a stampede, because I told you, everybody want a utopia. Everybody want a perfect world. Everybody want to live in a perfect world. Everybody want to be productive. Everybody want to be fruitful. Everybody want to be successful. Everybody want to live in nice homes, drive nice cars, man, live in a perfect world. Why? Because that's the nature of mankind, because that's what you were designed and created to live in, a utopia. Well, you had that in the Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. But you know something, man, in Genesis chapter 3, man, Adam and Eve got put out of the Garden of Eden. They got put out of that utopia. They got put out of that perfect environment and that perfect world and that perfect atmosphere. They got put out of that into a wilderness. And, man, instead of it being like it was in the little Garden of Eden, heaven on earth, it started being and developing and becoming to what it is here on now. It ain't nothing like heaven on earth on this earth today. But that's still God's original intent and desire and plan and purpose for your lives and for my life. And let me tell you something. His original intent and plan and purpose and desire for our life, hey, it's going to prevail. Many are the plans in our hearts. Many are the plans in the devil's heart to separate us from that. But it's the purpose of the Lord that's going to prevail. It don't matter what it might seem like. It don't matter whether you don't understand it or not. It don't matter whether, man, we as the children of God walk in all of the reality of it, man, while we're in this life. It don't matter or not. I told you, man, this. If it take God a trillion years to get it, man, you know, he going to have what he has. And, boy, we come to the knowledge of what I'm talking about, then it won't matter to you about time either. Why? Because you'll know something, too. That's why I say if you knew. If you knew what? If you knew that because of what Adam done, the penalty for that was death. The death I'm talking about is not only physical death, but spiritual death. What's spiritual death? Separation from God. Spiritual death is the parent of physical death. If Adam and them never would have got separated from God and sin would have never came into their life, then they never would have died. Never. They'd be still living men right now today. And everybody else that came from, and it'd be on earth just like it is in here. But man, they rebelled against the known will of God. And the Bible say, boy, the penalty for that sin or that transgression of God's word is death. What? Separation from God, separation from that environment, separation from that utopia, from that perfect world, separation from the Garden of Eden. Until we begin to live out in this wilderness, man, this world system that we live in now. Again, all that was the result of one man's disobedience. And because of one man's disobedience, then sin came upon the whole human race. And because sin came upon the whole human race, then sin, man, resulted in death to every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. What? Spiritual death, separation from God, and physical death. When the spirit is separate itself from this body and go back to God where it come from, and the body go back to the ground where it come from. Well, you know what the good news is, the gospel is, the gospel of the kingdom is, the love of God and the plan of God and the will of God for our life is, that even though, this is what the Bible says, even though the penalty for sin is death, but, that's in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the gift of God is eternal life. What? The penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is like eternal, is eternal life. That's a gift from God. That's why I told you, boy, if you knew all the things that God has in store for your life and God's plan and will and desire and purpose for your life, but I'm talking about every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, be running to God. Be serving him with the whole heart. If he doesn't know. And boy, the reason why we don't know, because the God of this world system who set up this world system here, the man of good and evil, the devil, have blinded our eyes and hardened our hearts to seeing we see not and hearing we hear not. Because if we did, I told you, boy, we'd be all running to God. We wouldn't be running from him. We'd be running to him. And we'd be running to him, boy, I'm talking about, boy, with a heartfelt adoration and love toward him. Why, Arthur? Because, boy, you will see that he first loved you. The only way we can love God the way he desired to be loved, he got to first love us. He ain't, listen, God don't expect you to just, man, all of a sudden just start loving him and just start loving him just because somebody said that or the preacher said that or the church said that or even the word said that. Even though they, that's the truth and that's what he wants. But, man, you can't, that don't just happen. Something got to happen before that happened, before you can love him, man, with all your heart. But he got to first love you. The Bible says he even showed his love for us, that even while we were yet in our sins, he hung, bled, and died. He got to love us first. You can't love him. You can't even come near to him unless he draw you. He a holy God. And the good news is, man, he didn't do what he needed to do, man, to draw you and for you to come close to him back into his presence and to point unto you that golden scepter of righteousness, signifying that you can come boldly back into the Garden of Eden, back into the presence of the Lord, back into that utopia world, in your mindset first, in your thinking first, in your heart first. And then as it begin to be manifested in your thinking and in your heart and in your mind, then it manifests itself, man, on this physical earth. But it got to first get on the inside of you, what, in your heart, in your mind, in your thinking, in your attitude, in your desire, in your purpose, in your will. And once it get in there, then you start, man, beginning line up on line, precept upon precept, manifesting it in this same realm. And boy, it'll be on earth like it is in heaven. Hey, listen, that ain't gonna happen overnight. That's gonna take a lifetime. That's gonna take, man, until Jesus, man, until the Father finished doing what he's doing. Like I told you, ain't nothing we can do. This ain't what we're doing. This ain't nothing that we can accomplish in and of ourselves. This is what God has done, is making it known and manifesting in the earth already. That's why I say if it take him a trillion years to manifest it on the earth, it don't matter to him. Why? Because he's already done. And all we are doing and all the world are doing, even though they don't know it, they becoming who we already are. Who we already are, we God's family, we God's children, we the royal household of God, we the family of God, we the children of the Most High God, we the offsprings of the Most High God, we kings and queens in the earth, man. We a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We heirs of the kingdom of God, ambassadors of Christ, man, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Yet we living and dying like mere men and mere women. You know why? Because we don't really know even what this season is. That's what I thought talking about, man, what we in right now. We call it Easter. I don't call it no holiday. I told you I call it a holy day. Like when you're talking about Christmas or anything concerning God, I don't call it no holiday. All the other days, man, that's the world terminology of it. But the kingdom terminology of it, that's a holy day. Hallelujah. Because of that, that's why I say people don't know what Easter really is. All they know is it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they don't know what that is. They just know them terminology, them saying, but they don't understand what that is. They don't have a working knowledge and a revelation of what that really is. That was the death of Jesus Christ. That was, first, it was the coming of Jesus Christ, just like Christmas. That's a holy day. Ain't no season. And it ain't about, man, what day he was born on, whether it was December 25th or Kimmel or the 39th. It don't matter about those days or hours, man. The fact is, he came. And he came for a purpose, man. It's not for us, man, to celebrate, man, the day or the hour that he came, even though that's all right. But, man, we need to understand why he came. And it ain't about, man, the day and the hour, whether it was December 25th, man, or whatever day it was. Man, we more preoccupied with that than we are, man, on why he came. What he came for, boy, came to redeem your life from destruction. God so loved the world. Everybody know that scripture. John 3:16. God so loved the world. What world? That utopia that every man is looking for, that he set up upon the earth. in Genesis chapter 1, he placed mankind in. That arrangement, that pattern of operation, that system, his way of doing things, his way of living, what he doing, he set up that on the earth. Hallelujah. He set up that utopia on this earth. And man, I'm talking about, boy, he lost that utopia, boy. He lost his kingdom on the earth, and he lost his royal family. He lost his children. They lost their, we lost our identity, our sovereignty, our dominion, our raw power, our right standards with the Most High God, our peace that the world can't give, the world can't take away, and our joy in the Holy Ghost. I ain't talking about happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. And most of the time, man, the happiness that's in mankind's life is not always favorable to bring about happiness. But boy, I'm talking about something that supersedes happiness. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord, glory to God. Well, it don't matter what's going on around you, man. Well, the whole world can be falling apart, man, around you, man. Everybody else can be miserable around you, man. Even so, down, you can feel miserable and unhappy and everything else, man. But I'm talking about, boy, joy unspeakable and full of glory, glory, God. Boy, it brings sadness to my heart, man, to know that that's available to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl. Yeah, boy, the God of this world, the devil, man, is blinding our eyes and hardening our heart. So we preoccupied, man, with the ways of this world, boy, instead of growing in the love and the grace of God and the mercy of God. So, well, boy, I'm talking about, man, everything. That every man, every woman, every boy, one boy, they can begin to have, to begin to come into their utopia, begin to come into the kingdom of God. I told you that's why he came. That's why he came. That's why he was born. Why? Because God so loved that world and that joy unspeakable that Adam and them had, man, before they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that he sent his only begotten son, that if we would believe in him, well, hey, we would not perish, but have everlasting life. So listen, if God lives in eternity and he's given us everlasting life, and if you really understood that spiritually, I ain't talking about what your five sense reasoning, man. I'm talking about if you understood that and spiritually, then, man, let me tell you something. You'll go through the process knowing that everything is all right. Why? Because you know that, boy, you are becoming who God said you are and what God, you know that you are. You're going to have what God says you're going to have, and you're going to be what God says you're going to be. And you know that you know that you know that you'll be coming there. And when you know that, man, it don't matter about all the other stuff that's in the world, man. It may bring pain and hurt to all our hearts, you know, because of circumstance, situation, symptom. But, boy, you're going to overcome all of that, man, because you'll know something, man. That greatest he that's in us than anything that's in this world. And boy, what he has done for us, man, is far greater than anything that the devil is trying to do against us. I told you, God so loved the world, boy, he sent his son. And when he sent his son didn't just come, man, just to come. His son came and did what he sent him to do. Let me tell you something, boy. He come to do what? He come to bring that world back. He come to bring that arrangement back. That world that God loved so much that he sent his only begotten son to get back. He come brought that world back. He come brought the Garden of Eden back to earth. He come brought, man, an open door, man, to a delightful place, the literal presence of the Lord. He couldn't bring that back to the earth. Isaiah say, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called a prince of peace. Hey, Lord. The everlasting Father, the mighty God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. But what he came in with, what he brought with him, he bought a government, a government. He didn't bring a religion. He bought a government. What government? The government of heaven, the ruling authority of heaven. He bought man he brought man heaven back to the earth. See, in that Garden of Eden, man, that Adam and Eve was in, man, that God planted and put them in. God planted that. And God put in that environment and put them in that. Boy, they lost that. And you and I don't know nothing about that environment, that ain't nothing about it, man. All we know is this world that we've been trained, brought up to live according to. We don't know nothing about, man, that utopia. that we was once living in the beginning. For God loved that arrangement that he set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He loved that so much he sent his son. That's what we call, man, the birth of Christ. But it got down to a pagan holiday, man, where it just, man, we just celebrate, man, pagan holidays, man. And it's more, man, you know about, man, commercialism and the world than it is about, man, not the world that God set up, but the world that's on this earth now. It's more about that than it is about the original world that God set up. See, the word world in the Bible is not talking about the universe. It's not C-O-S-M-O-S, cosmos. It's old Greek word and the Hebrew word. It's K-O-S-M-O-S. And what that word means don't mean the universe. It means a pattern of operation, a system, a way of doing things, the way things are, the way things operate on this earth, the system that governs it, the arrangements and the patterns of operation, man, that is operated by. That's what the word world means in the Bible. And the Bible says when God said he so loved the world, he's talking about that world that he had in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 when he was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day with unbroken fellowship. And they was on their way to becoming everything that God said about them. What he said about them, let's make them just like us in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion over all the earth. Let them be rulers over all the earth. Let them be the king of the earth, not over people, but over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over the whole earth. In other words, he said, the heavens is my territory. The earth, I'm going to give to my children. They're going to be their kingdom. What they're going to do, they're going to rule and reign in their kingdom. And they're going to make their kingdom or their territory just like it is in my kingdom, my territory. What's his kingdom? What's his territory? His heaven. What's our kingdom? What's our territory? His earth. What his will is, man, for us, that it be in our territory just like it is in his territory. And guess what? He empowered us with everything that we have need of to accomplish that. When he breathed in the inside of Adam, them men, the breath of life, and man became a living soul, boy, he released on the inside of him, boy, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the attributes of God, the character of God, the nature of God, the ability of God, all that God is, God's life. Hello. Well, he breathed that into Adam man, and started them on their course. Then he told them, now, become. What? Work. That's what work is. Work is different from a job. A job is something that you get trained to do, your education, you make a living with, but work is what you was born to do, what you were created to do. And you were created, boy, to impact this world, man, this earth here, boy, with the kingdom of hell. Let me get to my message. Hey, this world that I'm talking about and how God loves us and everything else and how we missing out on that love and got separated from that love, man. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came to bring all that back. He came to reestablish all that back up on the earth. He didn't come to set up a religion, man, so that we can have church and try to live the best we can and hope that we make it to heaven when it's all said and done. That's all a part of it. Please don't misunderstand. I ain't saying you ain't supposed to live right and live holy and do the best you can. I'm talking about you need to know the reason for it and the purpose for it. Why? So that it might be in our lives here on earth like it is in heaven. So that we can, man, finish what God, man, created us to do, man, or help him. Instead of always going to God and trying to get God, man, you know, to do for us, we need to go to God and say, Lord, how can I help you? Instead of always going to God and telling God what we want him to do for us, we need to go to God and tell God, Lord, what can we do for you? That's why a lot of prayers, man, you know, even though, boy, God in his passion and his love for us and easily touch with our infirmities or our weaknesses and inabilities, man, he still keep on, man, trying to do it. But the reason why a lot of prayer not really manifests, the Bible says, because some of us don't pray. And then the Bible says, and those who do, you say, you have not because you ask not. And then you ask, but you ask amiss. What you mean? You ask, but you don't know how to pray. Let me say it plain. You say, some don't pray. And then the majority of those who do pray, they don't know how to pray. That's why the disciples, man, praying just something you do. They got to be taught. It's out of all the things that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them. They could have asked him, Lord, teach me how to raise the dead. Teach us how to walk on water. Teach us how to open blind eyes. Teach us how to cast out devils like you do it. But all the time I've been reading this Bible, the only thing I ever seen in that world where them disciples asked their master to teach them was how to pray. Hallelujah. Lord, teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples how to pray. And then that's when God, Jesus gave them that moral, that outline, that template. You know, what we call the Lord's Prayer, that's not really the Lord's Prayer. That's a template. You got to put in the information. All that is just like a resume, you know, that you get, you can pull offline, you know, you want to apply for a job. Then when you get the resume, then you put in the information. But when you just pray in that prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be our name, kingdom come and all that, and just pray that and just leave it like that, that's just like you getting a resume and then sending it to the employer without even putting your name or your address or what your desire, what your conditions are or nothing. Just sending the template back to them. Then that's why I say, man, we have not because we ask not, and then we ask amiss. Why? Because we don't know how to pray. We go to God. Most of our prayers, man, is consistent of this. We go to God and tell God what we need him and what we would desire him to do for us. Yeah, we really do need him to do some things for us. But that ain't the protocol. That ain't the proper procedure to do it. The first thing you're supposed to do is, man, go ask God, man, what can you do for him? That's why you say, man, the first petition, Father, what? Let your kingdom come in my life. Who kingdom, Lord? Your kingdom. Let my government kingdom, let my church kingdom, let my religious kingdom, let my kingdom, let anybody else's kingdom come in my life. No, Lord, let your kingdom come in my life. And let your will be done in my life. In other words, Lord, I come to you, Father, to ask you, how can I help you accomplish what you're doing? Lord, show me what you're doing. That's what when he says, let thy kingdom come. See, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is used synonymous in scripture, but they mean different things. The kingdom of God, if I could just say it simple, man, and plain to help you understand, the kingdom of God is what God is doing and his way of doing what he's doing. The kingdom of heaven, that's a literal place. That's the environment where he is. That's his territory. And watch this here. When we let what he doing coming to our lives and his will and his desire, what's that? The kingdom of God? Then, boy, we can begin to experience the kingdom of heaven in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. When we get in on what God is doing, instead of trying to get God in on what we doing, when we go, man, to God and pray, Lord, Lord, help me to get in on what you doing, Lord. What you doing, Lord, not my will. But thy will be done. And our will, we have a good will and good intent and good desire, and a lot of them are godly and everything else, man. But, man, even though it have a form of godliness, man, but we deny the power thereof. Why? Because, boy, I'm talking about God's will for it to be in our lives here on earth like it is in heaven. He lost that. And, boy, in Genesis, man, let me tell you something, all the way from Genesis chapter 3, all the way to, boy, I'm talking about, boy, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what we call Christmas. Boy, this all the way up until then, everything that's in your Bible, all the Old Testament characters, all the Old Testament stories, all the Old Testament sermons, what we get out of them and everything else, all that is a means to one end. Not to establish a religion and not to make a goody-goody two-shoes, but that's a means to one end, boy. To reestablish God's original intent and plan and purpose for mankind's life back up on this earth. Not by might, nor by our power, nor by our strength, nor by our works, nor by our ability, nor by nothing we do, but how the Bible says, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. Hallelujah. And boy, that's what he's sending his son back here, boy, to do. And his son came, he brought the kingdom back here. He taught man for 3.5 years the functioning principles, man, of how to live in the Garden of Eden or in the kingdom of God. Because, man, ain't mankind ain't know nothing about living in the kingdom of God. All we were doing was doing what was conducive to our nature, how we were born and trained and conditioned to live like in this world system here. So he came to bring the original world back, the kingdom of God, the secret place of the Most High God, the presence of the Lord, the Garden of Eden. Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven. He come to bring all that back to the earth, boy. And then he taught for 3.5 years, man, the functioning principles of this world and how to live in this world. You know, the laws that govern this world, you know, the functioning principles, like I said earlier, you know, the system that operate on that. In fact, he said it in this way. He told the disciples, "Say, I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom." What's the keys? That's the functioning principles. I'm going to show you how the kingdom functions. Because it's not enough to be in the kingdom. You got to know how to function in the kingdom. You got to know the laws that governs it. You got to know how to live in the kingdom. You need to know how to live kingdom life. That's why our ministry is not meant as a religious name. That's why it's kingdom life. Why? Because like I told you when I began this, boy, my greatest desire, my whole purpose and intent is for you to know, man, God and the will of God for your life. To know him. Not of him. Not about him. But to know him for yourself. It ain't no way in the world, boy, in of ourselves, we can accomplish that. So what he did, he loved us so much, boy, till he sent his son, Jesus Christ, boy, regardless of what day it was on, man, what money was on, what year it was in, all regard, the long as the fact is that he came. And he came to bring that utopia back. He set that utopia back up in the hearts of mankind. He taught for 3.5 years using all kind of illustration and parables, man. And I promise you this year, if you really read the Bible, especially you know, Bible readers. I'm talking about not. I'm talking about just the world. I'm talking about Bible readers and preachers and pastors and bishops and all these titles that we follow up on. If you read the four gospels in the light of which is written in, man, you will find just one message was that, the kingdom of heaven. And you know what you'll find about that one message, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? You'll find out what a gospel about it, what a glad tidings about it, what a good news about it, what that is available to you right now. And let me show you how close it is. Is that if the Bible say the kingdom of Jesus say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand means it's within your reach. At hand means that it's so close that you can grab a hold to it, that you can siege it, that you can and place it in your possession. That's how close it is. At hand means. That means something at hand, that means you can touch it, you can feel it, you can grab a hold to it. That's why in 1 John we said, boy, listen, that which was not just in the beginning, but was from the beginning. That which we have seen, which our hands have handled, have touched of the word of life. That's how close it was. It was within their reach. And boy, they could feel him. They could touch him. They could handle him. Man. They could hear with their physical ears, man, what he was saying. And boy, I'm telling you, man, he come set that up on the earth. He come establish that up on the earth. He taught them the functioning principles of it, the keys of it. And that's what the church don't know. The church don't know the keys of the kingdom. Hey, listen, boy, if you don't know the keys of the kingdom, then you won't know how to unlock that door to peace that passes all understanding. We won't know how to unlock that door to happy lives and happy homes and happy marriages. We won't know how to unlock the key to divine health and healing. We won't know how to unlock the key, man, to peace, man, that the world can't give and the world can't take away. All that's in the kingdom. But they in the kingdom, man, and they behind doors. The key, the door to the kingdom ain't got no lock to it. Jesus is a door, and it's open 24/7. But it's like a big hotel, a luxurious hotel. It don't cost you nothing to come into the lobby, to come into the hotel. But if you want to get up there and enjoy, man, all the benefits of being in the hotel, then they up there in them rooms. And them rooms got doors on them with locks on them. And the good news is, man, you know, hey, Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Not no keys. Hallelujah. What do you say, Lord? He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Not no key to the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. Ain't no key to the kingdom. It's a door to the kingdom. So you can have them people who go in and clean the banks and stuff like that, who do janitorial work there, they got the key to the bank. They don't have the keys of the bank. They got the key to the bank. They can open that front door and they can go in there and they can clean their room and everything up, but they ain't got them keys to them vaults and where that money is. They ain't got them keys. But them people that's in the bank, that run the bank, the president and them and all that, they not only have the key to the bank, they have the keys of the bank. That's the same way it is in the church, man. We got the key to the kingdom, but we don't know the keys of the kingdom. We know we can come into the kingdom. We know how Jesus Christ died for our sins and everything else, but we don't know how to unlock all the doors to all them benefits. The Bible said this in Psalms, man. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. and forget not his benefits. That's Psalms 103. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. What, man? All the benefits that come along with, boy, your salvation. See, if you knew something, boy, you'd know that you know that you know you'd quit trying to make it to heaven, boy, you'd start living as though you was already there. Why? Because you are as sure for heaven as if you was already there. That guaranteed. If you believe in him, the Bible says you're going to have the everlasting life. He so loved the world, he sent his son. And he sent his son to bring the kingdom back. And if you believe in him, boy, he the door, like I say. He the key to the kingdom. But boy, the keys of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hey, the Holy Spirit, he give you that. The keys of the kingdom. How he give us that? In knowledge, in understanding, in wisdom, on how to apply his word and all the benefits that we have as a result of all that he did. Boy, when he came to this earth, for us to grab a hold of that, to see that, to have that, to place that in our life, to begin to live, boy, in a better life, better world, to begin to live as though we were in heaven already, little by little by little by little, line up on line, precept upon precept. So you might not heard this message too much, because this is the gospel of the kingdom. But boy, that's the message that Jesus preached, like I was saying earlier. If, boy, you begin to read your Bible, and if you read it, boy, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what that's all about, you're going to find one message. What's that? You're going to find, boy, the gospel of the kingdom. That's all Jesus came to preach. That's all he preached. That's all he preached. He preached nothing else. He didn't preach all that other stuff. He didn't preach healing. He didn't preach deliverance. He didn't preach. He told them the key to that. He preached the kingdom of God. And he preached the gospel about this kingdom of God. Because all these other things, the healing, the peace, the deliverance, the prosperity, the joy, the utopia that everybody's looking for, that's in that place. That's in there. So all you have to do is take you get in that place. And once you get in that place, then that's why he taught all those parables so that you can learn how to operate in that place, thereby obtain and have all the benefits that belongs to us, that we so rightfully deserve. That we might have that and live that. And enjoy it. So, Arthur, please, let me wrap this up, man, with showing you how powerful, man, these holy days are. Like the coming of Jesus Christ and like, boy, what he did. What he did, he brought the kingdom of heaven back to the earth. He set it up on the earth. He taught us the functioning principles of it, how to live in it, how to operate in it. And then, boy, he died up on the cross. What that was for? That cleansed us up from all our unrighteousness. But let me tell you something. You can't go into the presence of the Lord, boy, with a sin nature. We couldn't go into the presence of the Lord, man, the way we were. He had to come cleanse us up. That's why he said he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And when his only begotten son, he came and do, you know what? Hey, listen, he was tempted on all points, but yet without sin. Hear me in the Bible a few times. You recall this here? Boy, they tried it many times. I recall at least five or six times that I didn't study it when they wanted to stone him. When they do it, now I'm talking about they really wanted to stone him. They was intending on stoning him, but they didn't. But the Bible says he walked right through the midst of them. Right. Man, you can't kill him. He, listen, like I told you, boy, the penalty for sin is death. He ain't had no sin in him. Death couldn't touch him. Death didn't have no power over him. Hey, let me tell you something. If he wouldn't have took on the sins of the whole human race, boy, he'd still be living today. In fact, he still is living today, but he never would have been able to die up on the cross. Why? Because, boy, what about death is sin. What about sin is disobedience. So if you want to get rid of man, what caused death, you got to get rid of the root cause of it. What's the root cause of death? Sin. By one man's sin, the Bible says, death came upon the whole human race. By one man's disobedience. Also, by the obedience of one man, eternal life came to the whole human race. What? Like I told you, Adam's disobedience brought death and separation man of God and mankind from one another, man, by his disobedience, sin. And sin produced death. Hallelujah. What Jesus came did, he didn't have no sin in him, man. And he couldn't die. The only way they was able to the crucified him is when he took on him the sins of the whole human race, when he took your sins and my sins and everything else, man, and took it up on the whole human race. Well, that's how we need to see. That was my prayer, boy, that we begin to see one another the way God sees us. Instead of looking at one another, man, on behalf of man, you know, our shortcomings, our faults, and our mistakes. Let me tell you something. I don't care who you are, man. Everybody is messed up. Everybody guilty. None right. I don't care who you are. Ain't none right. But nobody can't declare nobody. None of them can't accuse nobody of nothing. Now, you can. But, man, that don't help nothing. Why? Because we all in sin and fell short of the glory of God. But the gift of God, baby. Well, boy, in God's eyesight, boy, know what he see? In spite of our faults and mistakes, he see us holy. You know what he's doing as a result of what he see? He's doing everything he can to bring that out, bring that wholeness out in us. Well, that's the love of God that he has. That's the agape love. I'm not talking about natural love and all that. I'm talking about, boy, the love that God loved us with. My son gave this to us, boy, before he went on to be with the Lord. One love. And it's not just the one love, but, boy, the second part of it was the most important. That's unconditional. That's like God loved us. Man, he loved us in spite of all our faults and all our mistakes, man. He keep on loving us, man. And boy, and then he gave us this one commandment. What is that, boy? Love the Lord your God, man, with all your heart, with all your mind, and love me and one another in the same way. Boy, listen, Jesus Christ came and he died up on that cross. He came and bought the kingdom of God. He taught how the kingdom of God operates. He gave us the key. Remember what he told Peter and him? I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And upon that revelation night, I'm going to be a my church, and the gates of hell ain't going to prevail against. Well, he taught them the functioning principles of how to live in the kingdom. Hallelujah. He taught them kingdom law. He taught them not the laws of Moses. They already had that. It was some laws that they didn't know about. He taught them, man, about the law of life. The Bible says that's in Christ Jesus. That in Romans say that set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do through the weakness of the flesh, God sent his son and redeemed all our lives from that. That's a law in the kingdom of God. That's in the first two chapters. There's a law called liberty. I'm talking about freedom, liberty. Free from what? Free from every bondage and every slave and every onslaught of the devil, everything that the devil that plunged men, us into, our lives into, our homes, our families into, our world into, man. I'm talking about a perfect law of liberty. But, boy, you are free from it. Free from the slavery and bondage of Satan and this world system itself. So that you can come back, man, into the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says, and this liberty here is not a liberty as an occasion to the flesh. This liberty for you to live holy, man. This freedom so that even in your faults and mistakes, man, you can get up, man, and keep on pressing toward the mark. You can keep on, man, striving to be holy. You can keep on striving to be, man, all that God said. What he said, be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy. And that because we ain't rest the mark yet, man, who that Bible say there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who may have that mindset, who are pressing on toward that. Why? All because I've been trying to get to this for this last hour. My time is almost up. But all because of this holy day right here. What we call this? It's Easter. What's Easter? Boy, this the death and the burial. And watch this here. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know that resurrection? You know what that means? That means death don't have no more power over you. That means, boy, the root cause of death, that caused death to come up on the whole human race, man, I told you, if you want to fix it, you got to get to the root cause of it. If you get to the root cause of it, listen, Jesus didn't have no sins, but he took up on him all the sins of the whole human race. That's why they couldn't stone him. That's why he couldn't die. Why? Because he didn't have no sin. Why? Because the only thing that warrants death is sin. He didn't have no sin. You and I have sin. So he took all of our sins up on him. Now he can die. Why? Because he didn't took on him the sins of the whole human race. And after taking on the sins of the whole human race, then in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. So now he took our sin, so we don't have no sin no more. For in the eyes of God, so that we don't have no sin no more, that means, man, death don't have no more power over you now. Hey, listen, it's going to happen. You're going to leave this physical body, and a lot of people are going to be separated, man, from God and from the presence of the Lord, but it don't have no power over you. Well, you ain't going to stay Hallelujah. Busy, man. Death can't hold you, man. Why? You got to get up just like Jesus got up. You got to rise just like he rose. You gonna rise just like he did. Hallelujah. In fact, God already raised us up and made us to sit together with Christ Jesus. All because of, man, Easter, the resurrection. You know what that resurrection means? That means, man, that you got everlasting life, that death can, even though it's going to happen in our life, in the natural, in the physical, and everything else, but it don't have no power over us. It can't hold us. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the Bible says all those men, Old Testament saints, men who died in the Lord and believing in God, they got up with it. Hallelujah. Why? Because death was holding them down. Death had power. Why? Because they were separated from God. But when he did what he did, he paid the penalty for our sin and took upon him the sins of the whole human race and then gave us his righteousness. Therefore, boy, our sins is like there was none, like we ain't never seen. So therefore, death don't have no power over us now. He can't hold us down, baby. That was the old lady saying, boy, we ain't no grave going to hold his body down. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he died, then I died. And when God raised him from the dead, he raised me from the dead, too. And I've been made to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the good news is, so have you. And that's what God wants you to know. I told you, man, the reason why man's world like it is now and people are like they are now is because of what they don't know. The Bible says, boy, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that's the devil's job, boy, to keep us ignorant to what God is doing. He don't mind us growing and all the things that we doing and all the things that we doing for God. And that means well and everything else. And that'll get us saved. That'll get us to heaven. That'll get us, man, eternal life. But that won't get you your utopia. That won't get you to the place where you can begin to live in that perfect world when that's what's available to us. That's what Jesus Christ come to bring to us. You ain't going to walk in the fullness of it, man. It don't start on the earth first. It started on the inside of us. And how it get developed on the inside of us? By us encouraging and building up one another in that way, in spite of our faults and mistakes, doing just like God did, looked past our faults and mistakes and saw our need. Where would that boy to be loved, to be appreciated, to be well thought of? I used to wonder why I was always like that, even from a little bit of child. And boy, I found out, man, one day, because that's how he is. That's all he wants. Hey, listen, y'all, my time is about up, but that's how our father is. He just want to be loved. He just want his children to love him. He just want to be appreciated. He just want to be well thought of. And he created, and then I found out, boy, that he created us in it. Because I used to be. Hey, listen, I love y'all with the love of the Lord. And like I told y'all when I started this podcast, my greatest desire. Is that you might know him, not know of him, not know about it, but know him. And it brings sorrow to my heart for all those who don't, and for all those, boys who the devil blind their eyes and harden their hearts for seeing they see not and hearing not. My desire for you is that you come to the night. That's my prayer for you. That's my desire for you. And so shall it be. My time is up here. I look forward to talking to you. Just remember this one thing. That because of this resurrection of Jesus Christ, then boy, death don't have no more power over us. We got everlasting life. So let's begin to grow up in that everlasting life that's ours and begin to live it. God love you. I love you too. If you could be of any more help to you, contact us. 713-870-3776. Talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776. This is Pastor Arthur LeBay. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. So we